Well, in these last several weeks, we have been in a teaching series called Good to Great. And we looked at, the first week, we looked at thinking great thoughts. Now, you know, whenever we hear positive, encouraging ideas, we tend to have positive emotions. And that was the general idea of that sermon that day. But the opposite of that is also true. When we put discouraging, depressing ideas into our minds, we end up with negative emotions. And I mean, you can see that all over the place. We talked about watching TV. So many times it is negative, right? And not positive. So think great thoughts. Think great thoughts. Two, reading great books. Reading great books. Great books sharpen your mind, impassion your heart, develop your skills, and heal your soul. Now, I don't know if you know, but our staff here at this church continually reads books, and we talk about them during our staff meeting. We took a little break here the last month or so, but typically we have a new book in hand by the time we finish the one before it, because we never want to get stale in what God is teaching His church, what God is teaching and wanting, how He wants us to expand the kingdom. His kingdom. So read great books. They help you sharpen your mind, impassion your heart, develop your skills, and heal your soul. Then we talked about pursuing great people. Pursuing great people. Now, you've probably heard this a lot from your parents when you were growing up, but who we choose to follow will determine to a large degree who we become. Right? If we want to be great Christians, we need to pursue great Christians. Can I get an amen on that? Then the next week we talked about dreaming great dreams. And we spoke of how we need to keep in mind that God delights to do impossible things through improbable people to impart exceeding grace to undeserving recipients. Just to remind us, I really love this. I didn't write it, so I can honestly say that. I just love this, though. Let's read this together. God delights to do impossible things through improbable people to impart exceeding grace to undeserving recipients. Think about that. Finally, last week, Justin had a wonderful message, Praying for a Change, where he talked about our prayer life and how we should pray great prayers. Pray great prayers. And that helps me have a plug for our app. If you don't have our app for your smartphone, you need to get it, because I was able to listen to Justin's sermon on our app. And it's First Church of Warsaw app. And you ought to download that to your phone. It goes back, 50 weeks worth of sermons, and I know you'd want to listen to every single one. But no, seriously, it allowed me to experience Justin's message last week since I was not here. I was at annual conference. So. But today, we're going to look into the concept of taking great risk. And I have to ask you, have you all known anyone in your life that takes great risks? Anyone? Now, some of you might be thinking about bungee jumpers. What are those people called that jump off with parachutes off of bridges and stuff? That's what I was thinking, but I don't think that's what they're called. What is it? Base jumpers, yes. You can see there is definitely two sides to that issue. Or high wire balancing acts, or people involved in extreme sports, right? You might be thinking that, but that's not the kind of risk takers that I'm referring to today. I'm talking about people like Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. was a risk taker, but that's not the Martin Luther I'm talking about. I'm talking about the preacher way back, and who put up his theses of 95 points. Where he thinks the Roman Catholic Church had gone wrong at the time. So I'm talking about Martin Luther. I'm talking about John and Charles Wesley, the founders of the Methodist movement. I'm talking about Christopher Columbus. After all, he could have fallen off the earth, right? I mean, that was the common thought of the day in his day. Or how about Rosa Parks? Y'all know who I'm talking about with Rosa Parks? Yeah. A common, everyday woman who decided to sit in a different place on the bus. But we know her, don't we? We know who she did. We know who she was and what she did. Or how about those of you who were the first to get a high school or college education in your family? That takes guts. That's risk taking. That's going into an unknown territory, isn't it? That no one in your family can coach you through. Or those of you who grew up in an abusive situation and you have been a hero in making sure your children don't grow up in that environment. And today, what about all of you fathers? Thank you to the men of our church family who brought or now bring their children to church, and not merely just bring them, but come with them to worship and to church activities. This one thing makes more difference than you will ever know. And if you don't see it now, you will see it pay off in the future. Folks, it takes a lot of faith and courage to be a man of God. Amen. Thank you. You see, through this series, we have been learning that the difference between good and great is not a matter of knowledge or pedigree, but of a willingness to take a radical step of faith. Let's read this together. The difference between good and great is not a matter of knowledge or pedigree, but a willingness to take a radical step of faith. What makes a step of faith radical? Anyone? What makes a step of faith radical? My understanding is that it is understanding that God will bring you to the edge of a decision. And you will have to decide whether to leap in the direction that God is calling you, or you step back into safety. And my question for you today is, how many of you, or maybe I shouldn't say that, are you living in what you to believe is a safe zone? Or are you a risk taker? Are you willing to step out and to take that risky step of faith, or do you shy off of that and step back in the safe zone? If we were to take a close look at the book of Hebrews, we would even come to the understanding that where there is no risk, there is no faith. Now that seems kind of harsh. But if you take a good read in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, that is a very strong statement throughout that book. Where there is no risk, there is no faith. You see, God wants you to choose, even when people think you're crazy for choosing His will. And because of that, you risk your reputation, don't you? I mean, all of you, you've been through this in some manner or means, right? When you feel called to do something, and maybe you didn't even equate it to something God has called you to do, but as you look back on it, you're thinking, wow, God really was directing me that whole time, right? And don't you just hate it when that happens? When you think you had the power to do it on your own, and you look back 20 years later and you're like, God was there all along. Praise God, right? I forgot where I was going with that. But anyway, whenever you take that step of faith that is a risky step, and you realize God is there, God wants you to choose, even when people think you are crazy, to choose His will. You know, the thing is, I've been in situations where I thought God was leading me, and not my wife and kids, but my parents and sisters thought I was taking a wrong step. Right? My friends thought I was crazy for choosing that direction in my life. My work, because it would caused me to resign going into the ministry. My work strongly disagreed with that. And sometimes that voice gets a lot louder than God's voice calling us to take the step, doesn't it? To take that step of risk that you understand is God's calling on your life. And if you're not careful, the negative words of people who don't have the same vision, and they're all, by the way, very happy and praise God that I took that step now. But if you're not careful, the negative words of people who don't have the same vision of conviction God has given you will eventually sound louder than God's. Just remember that where there is no risk, there's no faith. Where there's no faith, there's no power or joy or intimacy with God, and therefore no supernatural miracles, no reward, and no pleasing God. You see, without faith, you end up with hollow religious activities. Have we ever been involved with hollow religious activities? Or our Christian views become moralistic rules and dead orthodoxy. And that leads to no sense that God is moving at all. So many times when our kids argue about going to worship or when our kids argue about being involved, their understanding is that it is a dead orthodoxy. It is a religion rather than a way of life. It is something that we are called to do rather than changing the world. Amen. And as Christians, we are called to change the world, aren't we? We are here today to focus our life on God so that we can go out and change the world. This today is not about us. I know through the years, many of us have been taught incorrectly. This worship is not about us. This worship is about God. This worship, all worship, is about God. Just remember that where there is no risk, there is no faith. Where there is no faith, there's no power or joy or intimacy with God, and therefore no supernatural miracles, no reward, and no pleasing God. Without faith, you end up with hollow religious activity, moralistic rules, and dead orthodoxy, and it leads to no sense that God is moving in your life because we miss the common denominator of all great Christians, and that is a radical faith. A radical faith. Let's take a moment just to look at some biblical risk takers. Now, Abram, in the book of Genesis, he changed his name to Abraham after he was called of God. But Abram was called and had to respond and actually leave before God showed him where he was going. Think about that. Now, guys, a lot of us drive like that. But I don't know about you, I have a hard time leaving the house if I don't know where I'm going before I get in the car. But Abram had faith. Faith in God. Faith in his Creator. And he left before God gave him his destination. God says, go that direction and I'll tell you where you're going after you start. Moses had to return to a country that he'd been exiled from and that he'd actually murdered someone. And so they were looking for him. And he went back to demand the freedom of his people. David, little 12, 13, 14-year-old David, wasn't the only one who knew how to use a slingshot in that Jewish army. But no one else stepped up to the plate. And God was pleased with his risk of faith. Or how about our scripture for today, talking about Peter or Simon in the scripture? Think about that for a moment. How would his father feel? How would his wife feel? How would his kids feel if he, the fact that he just dropped his nets and left to follow this itinerant preacher? I can hear his kids going, Mom, how are we going to eat? I can hear his dad saying, I was going to give this business to you, buddy. Where are you going? Right? But yet Peter took a very risky step. And he dropped his net. and he followed Jesus. How about the Apostle Paul? He was a respected Jewish rabbi. Now I want you to put yourself in his shoes just for a moment. He was a respected Jewish rabbi that had been trained up by a very well-known rabbi, Gamaliel. Think about that. The rabbi that taught him was so well-known in that area. He's even in our scripture in the book of Acts. Paul had no pressure, did he? Or I should say Saul, who was pre-Paul, right? Saul had no pressure, did he? Think about that, how much he was worried, how much he could be worried about his reputation with someone that he respected so. Have you ever been there before? But Paul took a radical step of faith. Finally, how about the woman that had been hemorrhaging for 12 years that risked so much to simply reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment? A radical step of faith. Now, these are just some risk takers. Some, we don't even know their names in Scripture. Some are just mentioned very little. And others we know well, and they are the huge people that I've mentioned of Scripture. But Eric, how do we move from where we are to being these risk takers? Maybe some of you already are. But I have three ways just to help you get started this morning. And one is to refocus your fears. You know, as most of you know, I am in a barbershop quartet, and I've sang in thousands of cities across this nation, from West Coast to East Coast. And every single time, that first song, I would get out there, even though I had three brothers with me singing, I would get out there, and this performance anxiety would set in, right? And I would breathe to about right here instead of this nice full breath, right? And by the end of the song, I was dying. I mean, if anybody here ever had that anxiety, I mean, you feel like you're dying, man, and you got the pressure of however many people are watching you in that audience, right? And then of course the lead in barbershop many times is expected to hold a 30-minute hanger at the end, right? Not really. But you know, 2 or 3 minutes and I'm already dying, right? And see, what I tried to learn, and it's hard. What I tried to learn all the years that I was singing is to refocus that fear into the emotion of the song, into the energy that I give into that song, right? It's the same way with our Christian life. What is your fear? Why do you fear taking this step that God maybe has been calling you to for years? And we've always chosen another path. What is the reason? What is the fear that you're not stepping in to that path? Refocus that fear. Do you realize that over 100 times in Scripture, God or Jesus or an angel of God says either do not fear or do not be afraid? Do you realize that? That is a main theme as God calls people. Do not be afraid. I am what? What does God say? I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am with you. You see, faith is a verb. That's really where I'm getting to this morning. Faith is a verb. Faith is an action. Faith is operating, acting upon the reality that we know to be true even if we don't see it. The second thing is to rejuvenate your faith. How can we rejuvenate our faith? Anyone? Pray great prayers, right? Anybody else? Read great books, right? Pray great prayers, yeah. Anybody else? Huh? Go on mission trips. That's exactly right. What are some other ways you can rejuvenate your faith? Take great risks, right? You know, this, as I've already said, this weekend was annual conference for the United Methodist Church. And what that is, for those that don't know, is like the pastor And John Wesley really believed in people meeting together. John Wesley was the founder, he and his brother, the founder of the Methodist movement back in the 1700s. And he really believed that people should meet together. The entire idea of Methodism is based on small groups. As a matter of fact, people would call them Bible thumpers or Methodists. That was a bad thing. Right? And that's where the name Methodist came from, because there was a method in it all that they did. But anyway, so the pastor and one lay member from the church goes and represents this church for the entire state of Missouri. Right? That's called the annual conference. So there was 12, 13, 1400 people there. And anyway, it was an amazing for meetings. I mean, it's meetings is what it is. It was an amazing time. But you know one thing that they did? One thing that we did? On Saturday, we all stopped the meeting and we went out to serve. The idea of the conference was praying hands, dirty fingernails. And the concept was that we pray and our next action is to go out and work for Christ. Right? There were people that they brought all the wood in. And right there next to the Expo Center in Springfield, they were building a house, and they built it wall by wall. Next week I'll have a video of it, but they built wall by wall on there, and then they put the walls back on the trailer, and they were going somewhere else to build on the foundation for the Habitat Humanity House. There was another group that did some work in a park to beautify the park in one of the poor areas of Springfield. There was another group that handed out food to people in downtown Springfield. And the group that the Dirks family was a part of was painting an elementary. Every 18 years, they get their schools painted. Just think about that for a moment. And this school was getting a new addition put on it, and so they wanted to paint the old addition. And we painted over 400 people, went to this school. And in about 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, we had trimmed it out and painted every wall in that place. Isn't that awesome? Now, where I'm going with that. That night we had ordination, which is when people who have been called into ministry are ordained with the ordination that Christ gave the apostles, and they go out to their own church and have are a pastor at a church, and they can baptize and they can give communion and things like that. But the next day, a Sunday morning, we had what just might be called a regular worship service. But it was so amazing. Because I mean, John Q. Hammonds was filled with people that were pastors, were laity, were family of pastors and laity, people that just from the community that came, right? And I couldn't believe it. People were singing so loud. And from, I swear, I'm not everybody, but from, I saw about an 8 or 10 year old, and then I looked behind me and the whole balcony was filled with conference youth, of which one of our youth were one of those youth that represented us. And two, I saw like a 94 year old man raising his hands, praising God and singing. And during Holy Communion, they ran out of music because there were so many people and we kind of have to do some weird things to get everybody in there. And so the music leader just started singing a song. And within 3 words, everyone was singing so loud that she couldn't even be heard. Now, that is so awesome, and I'd like to take each and every one of you to that place to be able to experience that when people that are there want to be there, when people that are there want to focus their lives upon God, when people that are there want to worship and give God praise. It is such an amazing place and to be, and God's Spirit just flows over that place. Now wait, guys, this is a United Methodist worship service. Did you remember that? I don't want you to forget that. But listen to me. What did I say we did on Saturday? Serve. You see, we served on Saturday, and then we were in the right mindset on Sunday to worship God. Do you hear what I'm saying today? sometimes you got to take a radical step of faith to allow God to work in your life. Amen. Sometimes you have to step out, understanding that God is there before you can feel God's presence in your life. Sometimes you just have to do that, and you have to trust that God is there. You have to refocus your fear. You have to rejuvenate your faith, and you have to recall God's faithfulness. You can read Scripture and see how faithful God was to the Hebrew people throughout the Bible. You can see how faithful God was to the church in the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament. So those are the three things that help us step out and get to being a risk taker. Refocus your fears. I guess you got to figure out what your fears are before you can refocus them, right? So refocus your fears, rejuvenate your faith, and recall God's faithfulness. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for this day. We celebrate. We have so much to celebrate, Lord. We thank you for your presence in this worship service. That is the first and foremost thing that we celebrate. We thank you, God, for this church and how it works in your name to change this community, to minister to this community. And by church, God, it is not this building. It is each and every person associated with this church. We give you praise for the gifts that you lay upon our lives. And we just ask, God, that you anoint us in a way that we can step out, that we can refocus our fear, so that we can step out into your grace, into your mercy, and understand that you are there with us. Help us, God, to understand that all we do as a Christian, all we do is focus on you. That our faith is an action that focuses people toward you, Lord. That our hope is in you through Jesus Christ. So today, God, I ask that you anoint this church so all of us are great risk takers in your name. Re-energize us, God. Help us leave this place and invite people back so that they can experience the joy and the peace and the willingness to work in your name that this church has. Be with us, God. Anoint us fully in Jesus' name.